Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
And welcome to Music from the Tower. This is John Romeri, your host, and we are here on our gorgeous campus of Christ Cathedral, and we have the most gorgeous couple in Los Angeles, the most fabulous music couple in Los Angeles. It is so wonderful, and we've been waiting a long, long time. And we have Christopher Gravis. Yes, did I say
yes.
Correctly? Gravis. And we have Andrea Zomorodian. And this wonderful couple makes music almost everywhere I go. I've heard them do everything from conduct West Side Story, Christopher, to singing almost every piece of music I go to with the L.A. Master Chorale. These two are everywhere. What a gift to Southern California you both are. So welcome to Music from the Tower.
Thank you very much, John.
Oh, it's so good to have you. You guys are just like brandy new friends to me now that I've moved here. And I just love the music making you both have done. I met Christopher by going over to St. Wilfrid's Church, where you were the conductor.
That's right.
And how many years were you there?
I was there for 7 years. I was lucky enough to be there for 7 years. It's an amazing place. And
fabulous choir, and your even songs were so beautiful. I raced over to them every time I could get there. But I've also heard Christopher conduct West Side Story at Orange Coast College.
That's correct.
Yes,
that's
correct. I always say that wrong. But Orange Coast College, where our wonderful Dr. Rick Soto is also on faculty there. Are you there now at all, or have you left that?
No, I have stepped away from Orange Coast College within my new position at St. John's Episcopal Cathedral. But Rick still remains a very close friend of mine.
Absolutely. If we can ever get him off the Camino, he should be back to us soon.
That's right.
But hopefully he's back by the time this broadcast airs. But you did mention St. John's Cathedral. So now you have left Orange County and our college and our St. Wilfrid's, and you have moved on to the cathedral, the Episcopal Cathedral of St. John, in Los Angeles. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's an honor to be there. It's a beautiful historic building. We have a gorgeous 1924 Skinner organ.
Can't wait to hear it.
A fabulous choir and a great liturgical musical tradition.
So you inherited a wonderful program?
Yes, very much so.
Good. We're going to hear a lot more about that. And Andrea, you just sing all over the place. I've heard you do solos with the L.A. Phil and the Master Chorale so beautifully. We were just talking about some of the ones that you've done, and you also have some great things coming up, right?
You're
doing a lot of solos in the Ode to St. Cecilia by Handel.
I do have. I have quite a few movements.
Yes, seven,
that
right?
Something like that. I'm looking forward to doing under Matt Gray and his fabulous DeAngelis vocal ensemble. And I think the orchestra is Contrapunctus, which I'm excited to
have
work with.
Have you worked with them before?
I'm actually not sure. I don't
think
I have.
They're kind of new. I've heard them just once at Our Lady Queen of Angels, and they were really quite good. And they'd like to come here and do a concert, but I'm so happy that they're doing a concert in combination with Matt's group. That's a very cool thing, you know, and those kind of partnerships will help both groups get on the map.
Yeah,
you know?
It's so
and
wonderful.
Adding you is not a bad deal. You know, that's just fabulous.
Well, it's an honor for me to be there.
Well, gosh, you've sung it. It's a Segerstrom Center, L.A. Phil, where else have you been?
Well, I've enjoyed a lot of different opportunities. I sing in San Diego as well with the Bach Collegium San Diego, which is a fabulous group.
Oh my
Ruben Valenzuela is tremendous. He's a tremendous musician and guy. And it's just one of my greatest joys to be able to do so many different projects. And I've recently started singing on the movie sessions, which has also been a lot of fun in the last couple of years. I've been getting into that. And so every day seems to be different, which is life-giving.
I think that's kind of the exciting part about being a musician, isn't it? Wouldn't you say, Christopher?
Absolutely.
It's we have so many opportunities. So often parents will say, what do you think? Should my kid be in music? you know, it's so hard to make a living. They have to do all these little odd jobs. But it's the odd jobs that really make our life fun, you know. I mean, many of us are based at cathedrals. Christopher and I are lucky enough to have a cathedral job. But it's also fun to have little positions all over. We were just talking about my son, and, you know, he plays all over New York, but that's the fun part. He plays all over New York.
Life. It's a varied life. It's no secret that musicians live a long time. We have full lives, and our brains are actively engaged, and we're physically engaged, and it's a tremendously life-giving, to use the term that Andrea just used, life-giving a way to experience life and relationships.
Yes, and it's wonderful to do what we love the most, isn't it? You know, well, we're going to talk a lot more about that. You are also a singer at St. James in the City.
I am.
A wonderful Episcopal church that I flock to every single time I possibly can. Really, I think one of the best choirs anywhere around here. Sorry, Christopher.
I wouldn't disagree with you,
John. I have not heard your choir yet. I'm so sorry.
I am Jim Buonamani's biggest fan, so I am in total agreement with you, John.
And our own David Ball just played a recital up there. They have such a wonderful organ series. They have that wonderful evensong the second Sunday of the month, usually. Sunday afternoon.
They've really created such a home for a lot of classical musicians in Los Angeles, whether they're part of the music program there or they flock to it.
Yes. Well, all of us. And it's so fun to see everyone. You know, just even after a couple of years, I feel like I know half the choir and, you know, and half the attendees now.
It's like a little reunion.
It is a mini reunion every second Sunday of the month. And we're just bathed in gorgeous music at that place. It's just absolutely fabulous. So congratulations on all of that. Well, one of the things everyone wants to know about any musician is how they came to music in the first place. You know, it seems like such an odd choice, especially to families who are saying, I don't know about my kid being a musician. So many talented, wonderful students, and their parents are just afraid about music and music as a career. So let's start, ladies first. How did you come to music? You're a native of Seattle.
I am. And actually, neither of my parents are musicians, per se, though I think my mother's family has a lot of good musical genes. But my sister and I are both musicians, and she was
How did that happen? I was actually lucky enough to meet your mom at some concert.
Right.
You know, she was in town. It was so such
She's a jet setter. She's always here for something.
She's got some good performances to go to attend with you. You were singing the solos that night, and I don't even remember what it was. But there she was. I think it was John Alexander's final concert, perhaps.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And but it was so wonderful. She was just beaming from ear to ear at her wonderful daughter's performance.
She's my biggest fan.
That's the way parents are supposed to be.
Yes. You know?
I can hear my son, and it's usually accompanied by other orchestra members in the orchestra. But now it's not just, it always seems like a solo flute concert to me, no matter what it is.
Exactly.
But so you and your sister, both musicians, so
sure.
They gave you lessons?
My sister's a string player, and she was a violinist turned violist.
So she can have work always.
Exactly. Well, now she's a surgeon, so, you know, she just couldn't turn down the opportunity to go to USC for both music and medicine. And I actually ended up following her down to USC.
Is she a little older?
She's 2 years older.
Okay.
And so we got to overlap for 2 years, which was really wonderful. But growing up, I actually started in musical theater, and my mom tells this great story where she showed up to some sort of theater summer camp where I guess they were doing the play of Aladdin or something, and, you know, I had told her, oh, mom, I'm Jasmine, and she thought, okay, honey, that's great.
That sounds
and
nice.
And she and my dad came to the performance, and she tells this story where she says she almost dropped the camcorder.
Her jaw
fell to the ground. She looked at my dad, and they had no idea. There was this voice coming out. So though I don't have, you know, vivid memories of that, I hold on to that story.
But you have the recording, luckily.
That's right.
Yes.
That's true, actually.
No parent ever really drops the camcorder.
I'm still filtering through those old VHS cassettes. They're pretty entertaining to watch,
yes,
actually.
I'd hold on to every one, Christopher.
But
it will come in handy.
I also started flute when I was in fifth grade through the school band program. And I attribute that to my affinity for reading music in treble clef at least, because I was trained so young and I really enjoyed playing the flute. And then at some point I ended up having to choose voice or so choir or band essentially.
Yeah.
And I went with the voice and I pursued classical voice studies
Isn't
from the time I was in middle
that
school.
That often happens. You know, you'll hear kids that, well, I had to give up the band or I had to give up our own David Ball had to give up the trumpet to be able to move to the organ and work in choral work. But it's often true. You know, I just had Joe Bazouras, the new director of music for the Catholic Cathedral in L.A., and he's a voice major, but he was saying the reason he's a good musician is because he's also a pianist. You know, so many vocal people come to voice and have no background in instruments. We always try so hard to make sure all of our kids have instrumental training as well, so that they're good musicians who happen to sing rather than singers who wish they were a musician, you know. But good for you. And so somebody gave you some good training there at the beginning.
Right.
And then did you come to USC for undergrad?
I did, exactly. In 2007, I started my undergraduate at USC in vocal performance in the fabulous voice department they have there.
Who was your mentor teacher?
She's a wonderful teacher, still teaching privately, but retired from USC. Her name is Janice McVeigh.
Wonderful. Oh, that's great. And you actually got a little bonus while you were at USC, right? You got a chance to meet someone in the chamber chorus. Is that true?
That is factual.
that is indeed where we met, yeah.
Well, we're going to hear a lot more about all of this because inquiring minds on Catholic radio want to know. So we'll find out about this wonderful couple. We'll hear a lot more about your development and your study abroad. And then we've got to dive into Chris's background as well. But let's hear a little Bach. May we? Will you tell us about this piece, where you recorded it, what it is?
Sure. Well, this piece is not actually a live performance, though I've done a few live performances of Bach Magnificat. But this one was actually done for recording purposes with a fabulous oboist who's a friend of mine named Phil Popham. And he's everywhere. He's doing everything. And he is the greatest player, the greatest musician. And he's such a mensch.
On the recording.
Thank you. And the pianist is David Clemenson, who is the collaborative pianist for Pacific Chorale. And he does lots of great, wonderful work here in California.
Did he do the Carmina Burana in the summer as well? I'm not quite sure, but whoever played that, I'm just still in awe.
It was probably David.
It was just so beautiful. So this is a piece from the Bach Magnificat. Tell us what it is.
It's the first soprano aria, Quia Respexit.
This wonderful Bach Magnificat piece. And with one of the best sopranos in all of Los Angeles. And we will be right back. You are listening to Music from the Tower on Relevant Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Music from the Tower. We just heard a wonderful Bach aria from the Bach Magnificat, sang so beautifully by Andrea Zomorodian. And now we've been hearing a little bit about what led her to music. We heard that she got all the way to USC and just happened to meet someone named Christopher Gravis. So, Chris, it's your turn. Let's hear how you came to music. You are a fine conductor. You've conducted the San Diego Symphony. You've conducted the Orange Coast College Symphony Orchestra. You are now a teacher at Cal State LA.
Yeah, right? That's right, at Cal State LA and also at St. John's Episcopal Cathedral.
And so those are your two primary jobs now. You've sort of centered in on those.
They are. It took me to my mid-30s to realize you couldn't have every job in the entire world and do everything at the same time. So, yeah, I've cut it back to two jobs. So,
well, and do you like orchestral conducting equally to choral conducting? Or is what was your DMA? And I should say that you just received your doctorate from USC this past summer, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I like to think that I earned it. It's not like it was an honorary doctorate that they just bestowed to me. So
nothing wrong with those.
Right. My degree was in choral and sacred music. But the thing that's sort of unique about the DMA program at USC is that you choose elective areas and minor fields. And church music was my academic minor area. But orchestral conducting was one of my elective fields.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's such a fabulous aspect of the Thornton school experience. It's really unique. And
everybody you know that goes there is just top notch.
Oh, I mean, that's the most unbelievable thing. That your first day on campus, you're looking around and you're thinking, my God, these people are fabulous. It's the most inspiring thing. Not just your professors are fabulous musicians, but also
your colleagues.
Yeah. And you learn as much from your own peers as you do from the incredible faculty
there.
Well,
and around here, it's the place.
Yeah.
You know, it really is the place. Well, and not only did you earn your doctorate this past year, but you also earned your wife this past year. You were, I saw you within the scope of like 3 weeks, your whole life. You're at Orange Coast College conducting West Side Story. Then the next day, I see you at the Secretstrom Center because Andrea is singing a solo. Next weekend, you're getting married. The next weekend, you're receiving your doctorate, or maybe the wrong order there. But wow, what a life you have.
It's good to calendar it together that way so that our parents can actually be here to
experience it. All family in town.
Yeah.
Now, Andrea is from Seattle. What about you? Are you a SoCal boy?
I am. I'm actually from Costa Mesa.
Okay.
So I grew up sort of
in the shadow of
this building in Disneyland and everywhere else.
Wow.
And like Andrea, I started off as an instrumentalist. I was a saxophonist in grade school. I know I don't admit that to too many people.
Well, but, no one knows it. We won't tell a soul.
But I totally agree with you about an instrumental background and how important.
It's essential, isn't it?
It is in your music reading ability and your musicianship. I had an incredible experience when I was 14 years old. The Pacific Chorale hosted an honor choir festival, and we got to go as these young high school singers and work with John Alexander for weeks and weeks and weeks preparing Vaughan Williams' Dona Nobis Pacem with orchestra. And at the end of that whole thing, I thought, whatever that guy does, I want to do the exact same thing.
Oh, and you are, my friend. You are. and that dream came true.
Yeah.
You know, you're Mr. Choral Music all over town.
Well, thank you.
And that's, it's so well noted by all of your colleagues that the music you make here is top notch.
Oh, thanks, John.
It's not just blowing smoke, my friend. You are just fantastic. I've watched it firsthand. And so it's... was it a musical family? What led you to music in the first place? Just that experience with John Alexander?
No, actually, neither of my parents are musicians, but I was fortunate enough.
You guys are two for two here.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. I was fortunate enough to grow up with a lot of extended family around. And my grandmother, of all people, at this time, the old Segerstrom Center, the Performing Arts Center, was just being built.
Wow.
And we lived around the corner from this place. And so my grandmother would take me to Broadway shows and to the symphony concert.
It's the exposure to things that is so important.
Absolutely.
Now, you said your minor concentration was church music. So what kind of led you to the music of the church? Were you in a good church choir? Did you go to a place where the organ and choral music was an important?
I grew up in church and church music, but it was really my experience at the University of Redlands, studying with Jeffrey Ricard.
Okay.
Out there with this incredible Cassavant organ. I think Fred Swan just actually finished a tenure as the instructor out there for organ. This amazing musical tradition. We sang the Feast of Lights every Christmas, which back in the day, CBS recorded it live on television.
And
we sang Compline on Sunday nights, and it was what I like to call a monastic music education, because we were just rehearsing every day in this chapel with the sun streaming in through these gorgeous Judson Studio stained glass windows.
Wow.
And it was very much like steeped in liturgy and music, and that forever changed my life. That's when I fell in love with church music forever.
Well, and you certainly make beautiful church music, certainly here at St. Wilfrid's you did for all those years, and I know that the people there miss you very much.
I miss them too.
Yeah, they were a good choral sound. And every now and then there was even a guest soprano. and I can't wait to hear your work at St. John's. So tell us a little bit about what you do there now at your new church.
Well, I'm the canon for music ministry and cathedral arts.
That's what that means exactly. Tell our radio listeners. Often you say, you hear all sorts of words describing people.
Right.
You're the organist choir master. You're the director of music ministries. You're the this and that. But the Episcopals have a really fancy word. You just sound like a million bucks.
Any chance to be fancy.
Canon,
yeah.
You know?
Any chance to be fancy, and Episcopalians will take that opportunity.
I like it.
So a canon is either an honorary title bestowed by a bishop, or it means that you are affiliated in your ministerial work with a cathedral. And in my case, it's because I'm associated with the cathedral that I hold the title of canon.
And does that come automatically? Is it done in a ceremony? How does that happen?
In my case, no.
Just showed up.
I was very fortunate to follow a tremendous musician in Ned Tipton, who was at the American Cathedral in Paris for many years. And Ned had done such an amazing job of building this cathedral music program. The choir was fabulous, is fabulous. The organ tradition there is wonderful. It's a beautiful liturgical and architectural space. It's inspiring. It's all a historic space with gold mosaic.
Wow.
Everywhere. We have a beautiful divided chancel and a high altar. And
so tell our listeners where that is so we can all come visit.
It's in the historic West Adams neighborhood, right near USC, on the corner of Adams and Figueroa. And it's just an incredible community. It's a beautiful place. And for people who really love high church liturgy, we get it pretty smoky in there. So
okay.
I'm proud of that.
All
yeah.
right. And the actual even songs that you have your choir sing are on Saturdays, not Sundays.
Right? That's right. That's right. And part of my role at the cathedral is to help build up all of the ministries within the diocese. And we have such fabulous Episcopal music happening, like at St. Thomas the Apostle Church in Hollywood, where my colleague Jeffrey Perola is doing amazing work. They have a Latin vigil mass there on Saturday nights.
It's an Anglo-Catholic church.
It is, yeah. Yeah, they might beat us in the smoke department, too.
I'm sure they do.
And of course,
they buy extra.
Right, yeah. Jim Buonamani at St. James Wilshire Boulevard. There's a beautiful Sunday afternoon tradition.
Saints Beverly Hills.
All Saints Beverly Hills. Yeah, where Craig and Jason are, and then Phil Smith's group up at Church of Our Savior. So much great music.
But as cathedral musician, you're the leader of the pack now, buddy.
Well, yeah, so, I'm trying to help support their programs.
Exactly.
And Saturday night's a time that works best for us in that space. We have a great following. And just this last Saturday, we sang Evensong for Martin Luther King, prophet and martyr in our tradition.
And is it at a normal time? What time on Saturday?
It's at 5 o'clock.
A month at 5 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah. And then on first and third Sundays, we sing the Office of Compline, And that's a totally a cappella program. It's at 9 p.m. on first and third Sundays.
All men or the whole cathedral choir?
It's about an octet of mixed choir. Yeah. Just this last Sunday, we sang Wilkes and Tallis. So it's a robust and energizing musical life that I get to experience.
How many in the cathedral choir?
Right now, there are 20 in the cathedral choir. It's a fully auditioned ensemble.
And do you have some staff singers on staff?
Yes. Yeah. Very, very lucky to have some staff singers.
And do you drag in a certain soprano every now and
then? Whenever I can.
Whenever you can pry her away from St. James in the City. Excellent. Well, it just sounds like it's a great program, and it's only going to flower from here because they put this fabulous musician in charge of the Cathedral of St. John. For the Episcopal Church of Los Angeles. So lucky, lucky LA, and lucky all of us that we get to go there and hear your wonderful music making. You have done great things at St. Wilfrid's, and St. Wilfrid's choir toured, and they were in residence in places. But what we're going to hear now is actually one of your own compositions, right?
That's right, yeah. A great parishioner at St. Wilfrid's, George Ranney, and his wife Barbara commissioned me to write a setting of preseason responses, which is some liturgical service music we use in our evensong tradition. And I composed these for St. Wilfrid's. They're the St. Wilfrid's preseason responses. And I was very lucky that they were picked up by the Clarion Singers, which is an L.A.-based professional group, and taken to Canterbury Cathedral on a residency several summers ago and had their Canterbury Cathedral debut.
So they'd already been premiered here in L.A.?
Yes.
But they got their Canterbury premiere in 2016?
2016, yes.
Excellent. Yeah. And so for our listeners, these are a little response. You'll hear a canter, a little bit faint, but then you'll hear these gorgeous little choral responses back. And these were actually written by Christopher and premiered at Canterbury Cathedral. And so enjoy these wonderful pieces. And this is the Clarion Singers.
The Clarion Singers, conducted by Stephen Saltz.
Well, Stephen's been a longtime friend here on the radio. You can't go anywhere in Los Angeles without finding Stephen in the choir or as the conductor or doing something, you know, having some big festival somewhere. We'll talk more about him and all of your musical friends, and we will be right back. You're listening to Music from the Tower, and this is John Romeri on Relevant Radio. Okay, you're listening to Music from the Tower, and we're just finishing up the Domine Deus from the Bach B minor Mass with one of our favorite sopranos singing, Andrea Zomorodian, and she is going to tell us a little bit about this performance of the Bach.
Right, so this is a duet with a friend of mine, Jason Francisco, and we did it with Pacific Chorale and John Alexander last
spring.
He is with Musica Angelica's the orchestra. And this was in their, I believe, March performance last year.
Of the B minor Mass.
Of the B minor Mass.
Absolutely beautiful.
At Our Lady, Queen of Angels.
Yes, exactly. I was away for that performance. I missed the whole thing. And that's not like me. but if I'm not at something, it just means I'm out of town. So I like to go to every live performance I can get my hands on. I just think it's essential for all musicians. Don't you? I constantly beg my choir to go to things. And I try to show by example that I'm there. You know, looking to see if they are, because I think hearing it live and seeing the performers, all of that matters, you know, and you are in live performances all over the place. So we just heard a little Bach aria from a tiny little mass called the B minor Mass. and you are singing all over the place still coming up. We mentioned already your performance of Handel coming up, and I think that's February 9th and 10th. With the D'Angelo Singers. What else do you have coming up?
Well, I'm actually involved in a very exciting project, which is the remount of the production that was put up last October, that's October 2016, of Orlando di Lasso's Lagrime di San Pietro with the LA Master Chorale, a small group from the LA Master Chorale, and the production is staged by Peter Sellers. And we had an incredible debut last October with Peter here in Los Angeles, and it's being remounted this spring in March at Disney Hall again we embark on what we don't know the details yet, but what we think is going to be an international tour, maybe multiple international and domestic tours of the production.
Well, everybody, it was another one of those productions that happened while I was out of town, but everybody raved about it. And did you have solos in that?
No, there are no solos. It's Orlando di Lasso's sort of monum opus. It's his huge masterwork. It's the last thing he ever wrote before he died, from what I understand. Fully staged, and I believe for the first time. And it's Peter Sellers staging, which you can't do much better than that.
Oh, exactly.
And he is obviously a remarkable force. And I feel so lucky to have been able to work with him and to be able to continue working with him on this project.
So that was a smaller scola inside the Master Chorale?
It's 21 singers.
Wow.
And everything about this project was very thoughtfully done by artistic director and conductor Grant Gershon. And 21 singers, actually, because there are 7 vocal parts and there's 3 singers assigned to each part. So everything has to do with the Trinity and 3 and 7 and 21.
Scary stuff, though, when it's so few in a part.
Right. It was such a behemoth task and production to be able to memorize complete polyphony. It's 1 hour. I think it's 1 hour and 9 minutes of polyphony with no breaks for anyone. No going off stage. It's fabulous. Everyone's barefoot.
No 2 pages of rests.
No, at all. And that's the hardest, probably the hardest part was, is counting your, you know, you have 3 beats maybe, or 6 beats, and then you're back in, and so many held, beautiful lines. The music is absolutely stunning, and the staging magnifies that.
I can't wait.
We'll hope to see you there.
Get it on my calendar.
March 17, 18.
Oh, okay, so there are already dates.
For the L.A. Remount at Walt Disney Concert Hall. It's on the Master Chorale season, and it's one of the performances is part of their gala, and I believe the other performance is for the ACDA regional conference.
That's right.
And so it's part of that as well. So I'm not sure exactly how ticketing works, but...
Well, I'm going to the ACDA convention.
Wonderful.
In Pasadena, so I'll be there for that one.
You'll be a lucky recipient, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I hope so. I hope so. What else is on your docket?
Well, I have some more solo things coming up. I'm looking forward to the Mozart Coronation Mass this summer at the Berkshire Choral Festival under Rob Eisted. I am. And we're also doing the St. John Passion with Pacific Chorale and Musica Angelica again, probably in a very similar format that the B minor Mass was done. In fact, at Our Lady, Queen of Angels again.
Yes, that's a wonderful place in which to perform, isn't it?
It is.
I can't wait till they get their pipe work in there. They're working very hard at getting a gorgeous, lively Folger organ. Right now they've got an electronic, but eventually that place will be a little mecca place to really perform once the organ is installed.
It's a beautiful acoustic, and Rob, Dr. Eistad, has done already. We were just a few rehearsals in, and he has gotten a remarkable sound out of the group. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be one of the great passion performances to be remembered, especially in this region.
I can't wait. And I have noticed a little change in the choir over just even one semester. I've noticed a little change in personnel as I went to the Christmas program. So I got to see him in his jolly reindeer hat or whatever that was.
That's right.
It was great. He's got more guts than I do. And it was wonderful. But the chorus had a really great sound. You know, I went as a guest of one of my own choristers, and I just really think the choir has a little bit changed already.
Rob is incredible, and he brings such an amazing energy. I've enjoyed for many years singing for John Alexander and cherished the time because I sort of came in at the end of John's tenure. So it's a real pleasure for me to have been able to sort of straddle both eras.
I so respected John Alexander for really giving up what would have been the anniversary year and saying that's the year Rob should start. I just thought John's been a guest on the show, as has Rob, and both of them were just absolutely enamored with each other. It was wonderful, you know, to see two colleagues that respected and you know, just so happy to pass the reins on to Rob. And Dr. Eistad is just, you know, he's the head of ACDA in our region, the American Director of Choral Directors. And it's just wonderful to see that level of musician at the helm of such a great chorus. So I know there are going to be great things coming from that. So we'll hopefully hear a few solos from you at the St. John Passion. That's for sure. You sing, we mentioned already, with St. James in the city. And what we're going to hear now is a beautiful piece. Tell us all about this. This was a brand new piece for me. And so wait till you hear it, radio listeners. You'll just go gaga.
This piece is composed by the contemporary composer Eric Essenvaltz. And this piece is O Salutaris Ostia. And it's a beautiful duet for two sopranos with backup choir. And when you hear this backup choir, the Choir of St. James just has an angelic glow around them. So be sure to listen for them, too. But
you and the other soprano, is the other soprano?
Paulina Francisco. She's actually left Los Angeles now to pursue her master's degree at the Jacobs School of Music at Indiana University in early music.
Oh, great.
And so she's a lovely soprano. And it was really fun to get to do this together. And actually, we recorded this the same weekend that the Bach B minor Mass went up as well with Musica Angelica. So it was a busy weekend.
I see that.
It always combines.
Well, it's just astonishing. And you just soar above the choir. So here is O Salutaris Ostia. You're listening to Music from the Tower. And you have been treated to some great music this week on our show. And you are going to hear a lot more from Christopher and Andrea. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Music from the Tower. You're listening to a little bit of Jesus Christ the Apple Tree by the St. Wilfrid Choir with Christopher Gravis conducting. When did you record this album, Chris?
We recorded this album back in 2015. All in one day, actually. It was a hot October day. There's nothing anybody wants to do less than sing Christmas carols on a hot Saturday in October. But the people from Choir of St. Wilfrid's were so dedicated to, and are still so dedicated to, all the music making we did there. It turned out to be a great album, and we sold out all of our copies, I think, in the first year that it was released.
Well, lucky Music from the Tower listeners got to hear that. And we're going to hear one more cut as we cut away today at the end of our time. Well, we kind of left you in grade school with the saxophone here, and then we gave you a doctorate. So now we've got to fill in the gap here. So we found that you went to church music because of your love of music from college days.
Right.
So where'd you go to undergrad?
I went to the University of Redlands. Just east of here, just east of Los Angeles, halfway between here and Palm Springs. It's a beautiful old 109-year-old university with a big, glorious chapel and a fantastic music program.
And what was your major there?
My music major was originally education. And then I started to get into that place in the curriculum where it was like a lot of child development and language acquisition classes. And I thought, I want to learn a lot more music. And I'm not quite sure music education was the direction I wanted to go in, which was the right choice for me because it allowed me to really study conducting. And the beautiful thing about having gone to a small liberal arts school like that is I got a lot of performance opportunities. And by the time I was a senior, I was conducting full orchestra and chorus in our spring concerts, and was able to collaborate with my colleagues and faculty, and it was a great opportunity.
The chance for a choral person to conduct instrumental works, not just the accompaniment to a cantata or a major work, but really to conduct a symphonic work, is a lot of fun, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun, and it's something that a lot of people in our field don't get the opportunity to do, in fact.
Or just shy away from.
Well, right, and it becomes this sort of albatross with choral conductors, where they get very nervous about working with orchestras.
Or they just don't understand the instruments well enough to even be able to say, and all they have to do is say one goofy thing about bowing to the violinist, and they've written you off completely.
Exactly,
So lucky you to be able to do both at one time, and that is sometimes the advantage of a small college.
Yeah, I feel very lucky in that way.
I went to the University of Pacific, and it was the same way. You know, it was a smaller school. I was an organ major, and there were just a handful of us, but we got tons of personal attention. And then I went off to the choir college, and it went crazy from there. So you have been at St. Wilfrid's. And tell us a little bit about your work at the university.
Well, I am really honored to serve as the director of choral activities at California State University, Los Angeles. It's a school that has had a long tradition of a music program. And we're building the program back up, and I work with students, both undergraduate and graduate. I've got a graduate program in the summertime that we run with my colleagues Don Brinegar and Bill Bellin. It's a 3-summer master's program.
Oh, wow. That's great for people to be able to continue their ed.
So many teachers are a part of this, and not just from California, but we've got
from everywhere.
Grads from Westminster Choir College in Indiana who are coming to Cal State LA for this summer program. Tremendously talented folks, and the curriculum and the pedagogy is top notch. So I feel very honored to get to serve.
Do you conduct choirs as well? How many choirs do you have?
We have two choirs. I conduct two choirs at Cal State LA during the regular year, the concert choir and the chamber singers. And I teach classes in music education as well.
And when are they coming to Christ Cathedral to do a big concert?
As soon as you would like to have us, John.
Okay, yeah. Anytime. Absolutely anytime. We'd love to host you anytime you've got some big major work in your paw and you want to come and bring it to us, especially once we open the cathedral. But don't wait.
We'd love to.
Our arboretum is a beautiful place in which to sing. Well, it sounds like you're doing great things, both of you. Just so many musical happenings here. You really are the first musical couple of of Los Angeles and all of Orange County. Tell us a little bit about how this couple came to be. You met in chamber choir.
We did. We met in the chamber choir at USC back when we were both there. I was pursuing my bachelor's degree, and Chris had just started his doctoral program.
But we also knew each other from St. James as well, because like you, I would attend Evensongs.
Well, who wouldn't?
And sometimes would sing with the choir of St. James.
How can you not fall in love in that environment, right?
Exactly. I'm in love with all the sopranos. You know, I mean, it's so a good thing you got Chris, because otherwise I would have just had to swoop in. Because I'm telling you, it is just one of the best musical experiences I've had anywhere. It's just, I think it's a top-notch choir. You know, it's just fabulous. I love it to death.
And it's so spiritual. And the program that Jim has built over the last, you know, 20-plus years has surpassed what I'm sure anyone thought could happen in one space. And the community that has been built there that we are so lucky to be a part of. And Jim is very much a part of that. He's been a mentor for me in a lot of ways.
And I bet he was a yenta putting you two together, right? let's get down to the nitty-gritty
here. He does like playing matchmaker.
I think so, too. You know, he's a choir college grad, so it just runs in our veins.
Well, he never talked us out of it. So
I'm sure not.
One very funny thing was that as we were getting ready to get married, we knew we were going to get married at St. James. We knew we wanted the choir to be a part, and we definitely knew we wanted Jim to be a part. And Jim was very enthusiastic about all of this. And as we start to get closer and closer to the wedding, it sort of felt like Jim was pulling away from us a little bit. We couldn't quite understand. You know, we wanted to talk with him about wedding music, and he was just sort of aloof. And wow. Then it turned out the day of our wedding, he surprised us with a piece
in the wedding service
that he had composed.
So you didn't have any clue?
No. It was absolute surprise in the middle of the wedding ceremony that we had, you know, painstakingly gone over this liturgy together and planned. I knew exactly what was happening when, and all of a sudden, the clergy sort of stopped the service, essentially, from where it was going in my mind, and said, actually, now the choir and the choir master have a gift or a surprise anthem written by the choir master, Jim Buonamani, that they would like to sing for you now. And he had chosen absolutely the most gorgeous text.
What is the text of this brand new piece I've got to go get my hands on?
I think it's a sort of Arise, My Love.
I love that text.
But it's actually a Celtic, love text. And I'd never heard the text before. And it is set so beautifully. I hope we can send you a copy sometime.
Oh, I'd love to see it and teach our choirs. Has he published it yet?
I'm not sure if he plans on publishing it, but he gave it to us and he said, please perform this wherever you would like. So,
great.
And I know he has it on the slate for later this season at some point.
Well, then I'll hear it at Evensong, I'm sure.
Right.
But wonderful. That's a great gift, isn't it? But
it was amazing.
A little bridezilla there? Did you plan this over the hill?
No, I think I was just in shock. I mean, it happened and I had, of course, tears in my eyes and just looking at Jim. And there's nothing we could do but stand at the altar and watch this unfold, and it was absolutely incredible. It was like dreams come true, but I couldn't have possibly dreamt anything like this.
Oh,
it was so
fabulous.
Beautiful, and all your best friends singing it
exactly.
To you.
Exactly. The best singers in L.A. all assembled
right.
In one choir.
Right.
It's a virtual who's who of singers from everywhere.
And again, Stephen Saltz was there.
Well, of course, Stephen Saltz is everywhere. You know, I must say he beat you on Music in the Tower
by
episode after episode. You know, we could have beat him out, but it took a little while to wrangle you both in here. But what a pleasure to get to meet you both, to hear about your musical stories, to hear some of your music making. I know that our listeners are going to be following you out there and all the great things that are going to happen at St. John's Cathedral, all the great things that are happening at Cal State LA, and all of the great performances that are coming up with the Master Chorale and with your own group. We didn't mention that group. Tell us a little bit about that one wonderful group.
Ensemble Vocatrix specializes in Hildegard, actually. And it started a few years ago when we were put together, actually, by Ned Tipton to do a production of her big work, Ordo Virtutum. And it was fully staged.
And is that what you just performed? There was a whole review in the LA Times.
Well, we've performed Ordo Virtutum a number of times, fully staged. And actually, this was a partial brainchild of Katina Mitchell, who's a soprano that no longer lives in Los Angeles, for a part of her doctoral work.
All the sopranos are deserting you.
It's true. And Ned Tipton, when he was at St. John's, and it's sort of completely taken wing and born a new life. We do totally different programs now. And this program that I was reviewed in the LA Times on from a December 4th concert.
Just this past year.
We did a program of hymns and songs, which is just beautiful Hildegard hymns and songs that are not part of any, pre-planned
work.
Right, exactly. And we're
talking 800-year-old music. It's just fascinating that this music is now in the 22nd century here, coming to life.
It's transcendent and timeless, though. It's incredible. And we sort of find ourselves evangelizing about Hildegard. Have you heard her music? Do you know about her life? What she's done? She, of course, was sort of the first female everything in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
And one of the things, of course, was as a composer. And so I've really been enjoying getting to share her works around Los Angeles and abroad. We've actually toured a little bit. We went up to the Berklee Early Music Festival just last summer, and that was a great opportunity. And we are constantly applying for grants and things like that, of opportunities to perform around the country and around the world. And this was a part of the Monday Evening Concert Series, which is normally a new music concert series. It's very avant-garde.
You went the wrong direction.
That's right. Jonathan Hepfer is the artistic director of that concert series that takes place at Colburn. And it's actually has a long tradition. I think it started in the 30s in Silver Lake. And at one point, Schoenberg was the curator of this concert series. And so Jonathan Hepfer has revived it. And he always pairs some new music half of the program with something else.
What happened in that concert.
Exactly. And so Ensemble Vocatrix, just five of us came, and it was a mixture of solo and ensemble singing. And the top critic for the LA Times happened to be there and happened to really enjoy it, thankfully.
And happened to picture the best of the sopranos in the paper there. There was a wonderful picture of you singing away there.
It was such a surprise when I woke up that morning and my face was in the newspaper. I had no idea.
Well, my friends in Radio Land, you are going to be finding a lot more about Christopher Gravis and Andrea Zomorodian in the future. You just look for those two names and you will not go wrong. We're going to end with a very beautiful piece by John Rutter, again sung by the St. Wilfrid Choir.
That's right, from our Christmas from St. Wilfrid's album.
Well, my friends, this has been Music from the Tower. My name is John Romeri, and I've been guiding you through this wonderful tour of these two great musicians here in Los Angeles. However, what you want to do is get out and enjoy a performance, a live performance of some great music, and perhaps you'll be lucky enough to hear these two great musicians in concert. This is Music from the Tower. You've been listening to Relevant Radio, and we are so happy you were with us this week. Thanks for listening.